Well, hey folks, welcome to my weekly Q&A. Get a Bible, a notepad and a pen, and today I'm going to answer about five questions concerning faith. I love the subject of faith. Occasionally somebody will come to me and say, you're one of those faith preachers, and I always like go, guilty as charged. I am a faith preacher. Always have been, always will be. And Jesus was a faith preacher. Paul was a faith preacher. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We need faith. Faith activates. Faith is not one subject amongst many. Faith is the key that activates everything in the Christian life. I have a lovely car. I have a Mustang outside there, and it's powerful, great big engine, cool leather and all these things. And yet without the key, it ain't going anywhere, baby. And I tell you guys, you, all of God's exceeding great and precious promises are for you, and yet they're activated by faith. So let's jump into these. Real quick, if you are on YouTube, I want to say thank you to our over 1 million subscribers. Why not consider joining them? Hitting the little button down there. And I would encourage everybody to sign up for our weekly email newsletter as well. Link below, and we'll send you a free gift whenever you sign up for that. Check out all the other links below. But let's jump into these questions. So question number one is, what is biblical faith? Again, I covered this briefly in yesterday's message, but we can speak about faith in a very generic terms. Faith means to believe something. So faith is believing at a practical level. Faith is a noun, believe is a verb, and yet I think biblically faith is more than believing. I've seen many people say things like, well, I have faith. I believe God's going to do it one day. I believe God could. I've heard people say to me, well, I have faith. I believe God could heal me. And it doesn't take a lot of faith to believe God could. I think it's the story of D.L. Moody, or it could have been Finney, who once, I think he was speaking in Chicago, and on the first, you know, evening of his week's campaign, there were like 10 people in a 1,000-seater hall. And he looked around the hall and said, how many people believe God could fill this hall this week? And every hand's up. And then he said, how many people believe God will fill this hall this week? And, you know, faith isn't believing God can. And I will go even further and say faith isn't necessarily believing that God will. Now, to believe that God will do something is good. And yet the danger isn't in the word faith. It's in the word will. God will means that it will happen at some future juncture. Now, that could be 5 minutes. It could be 5 years. It could be 50 years. I once spoke to a wonderful young lady in a wheelchair, a born-again, spirit-filled, faith-filled believer, and yet she'd been sold the bill of goods, the lie, that one day God would heal her. And she had faith that God could heal her, that God would heal her, but it was always tomorrow. It was like, God will heal me one day. God will heal me when he's ready. God will heal me in 10 years. God will, God will, God will. And I stayed in this family's home with her parents and this young lady. And, you know, at supper, I challenged her and said, are you willing to examine your beliefs in the light of the Bible? And she was very humble and open. And she was like, yes, I am. She said, if I'm believing the wrong thing, I'm willing to change. And we just went line upon line, precept upon precept through God's word. And I showed her that she wasn't actually in faith. She was in hope. And that faith is the substance of the things hope. Hope says God will heal me. Faith says God has healed me. It's done. Not in denial, not pretending there's not pain or sickness or immobility or whatever. But faith says, faith brings the unreal things of tomorrow and pulls them into the now. Hope says God will forgive my sins one day. Faith says God has forgiven my sins. I know it's done. How do I know it's done? Based on a feeling? No, based purely on the word of God. And you know, that very night, not because of my prayers, my ministry, my gift, but because of her Bible, that young lady was healed and out of her wheelchair. God wants you to pull the hopes of tomorrow and bring them. So what is biblical faith? Biblical faith is confidence in God. But I would push further on that and say confidence in the word of God. I push even further. Faith means we come and we believe something is done based on the word of God alone and not based on what we see, smell, feel, taste, or touch. Sila. Boom. Right. Question number two. Again, good question. It touches that. Does faith ignore reality? I want to say this. I think there are lots of people who claim to be moving in faith, claim to be teaching faith, claim to be proponents of the message of faith who have ignored reality. I have seen people in serious need and they pretend, you know, that they don't have a problem when they clearly do have a problem. I've seen people limping, you know, like real pain, and you're like, hey dude, are you okay? And they're like, I don't have a problem, nothing wrong with my leg. And, you know, it's obvious they do. So, you know, I like to say this, faith doesn't come by flushing medicine down the toilet. Faith doesn't come by taking your glasses and breaking them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, faith doesn't deny the realities of the things we see around us. Romans chapter 4 speaks about Abraham and his journey of faith. Abraham has a promise from God. You'll be the father of many nations. Okay, you're going to have children. And yet the Bible says Abraham grew strong in faith by not considering his own body, which was nearly dead. The point being, every morning Abraham looks at his own body, like sagging body parts, whatever, looks in the mirror and goes like, I'm not 25 anymore, I'm nearly 100. You know, he looks at Sarah and goes, she's a little bit younger, but she ain't no spring chicken, baby. And the point is, Abraham didn't deny the reality of the physical state of his own body, but rather what he did is he denied its power, its permanence, and its right to stay in that place. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, we fix not our regard or even our thinking on the things we can see, but rather on the things we can't see. Paul says if you can see it, it's temporary, it's changeable, it's malleable, it's subject to change. If you can't see it, the things of the Spirit, it's eternal. So faith doesn't deny reality, it denies reality's authority and its permanence. And frankly, it denies that what you feel is real. It's not unreal, but it's not permanent and real in that sense. So faith doesn't deny reality. I would say there is a legitimate place to not fix our attention on what we see, smell, feel, taste, and touch, and rather to fix our attention on the Word of God. Jesus said, when your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. And there are circumstances in our lives when we need to look away and choose not to look at something, because when we look at what we see, smell, feel, smell, touch, it drags us into that place. Question number three, can faith exist without the Scriptures, without the Word of God? That's a great question, and one I've never really thought about. I think at one level I would say yes, but faith is limited, and God has chosen to speak to mankind primarily through His Word. The writer to the Hebrews begins, the same Hebrews we've been reading, and it says, God has spoken various and sundry ways, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So God spoke through creation, prophets spoke through a donkey, wrote on the wall, lots of different ways. He sent Jesus, and now we have the Word of God. So this is God speaking to us. So can I have confidence in God? Can somebody, maybe some, imagine you're in some Amazonian jungle, you're an Eskimo, not in the jungle. You've never met God, and you reach out, you read the book of nature, you look at the stars and say, somebody made this and I want to know you. Like, yes, you can have a faith in a very low level way, but that faith is, like Paul speaks about, in Athens, to the unknown God. That faith is undefined. That faith can't be clear. I can't have a specific promise from God concerning an area of my life without a specific word from God concerning that area of my life. I've met many people in churches, like, let's say, a Baptist church, Episcopalian, whatever, who believe God could heal. But those churches, by and large, don't consistently, clearly, and honestly teach the promises of God concerning those areas of our life. So it's somebody can have a generic faith, well, I guess God could heal me. But it's hard to have specific, accurate, tangible faith that works without a specific, accurate, tangible word from God to depend to tie that faith to. Question number four, what produces genuine faith? Well, again, the answer, I feel we're jumping from one question to another because they're all the same things. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So it's actually good to say this. Faith is not primarily a gift. Now, there's the spiritual gift of special faith. It's like God, in a specific instance, giving you faith for something he called you to do. Amen to that. Let's put that one aside. God gives you faith to fulfill the call of God on your life. But in a general sense, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How much faith you have right now is a reflection, and a near perfect reflection, of the time, focus, and attention you've given to God's word in the last few days, weeks, months, and years. More word, more faith. Less word, less faith. Jesus said, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will determine the measure of power and virtue that will flow into your life. Mark 4, round about verse 19 in the Classic Amplified. He said, with the measure you meet, it will be measured unto you, and to you who hear, faith comes by hearing, will more be given. So you can choose how much faith you have by choosing the place that God's word occupies in your life. Sila. Boom. Let's see. Question number five, and I'll finish with this one, but it's a good. Does God heal? Does God always heal now? Again, we can, obviously somebody's going to chime in and say, well, no, I know I prayed and I still was sick and, you know, I understand those things. I'm not in any way denying that reality, or that somebody's prayed and died. And most of us have seen that. Can I say, from God's perspective, from God's vantage point, God won't heal you now. God healed you 2,000 years ago. You know, when does Jesus, if I'd become a Christian today and I stood in front of you saying, I just got saved, I just became a Christian. When did God save me? You could legitimately say God saved me before the foundation of the world. You could say God saved me when Jesus cried out, it is finished. John 19, verse 30. You could say I got saved when I fell to my knees and called on the name of the Lord. You could say I'm being saved. You could say I'll be fully saved when I die, when Jesus comes or calls and I step into the fullness of his salvation. All of those would be good and correct answers. So when does God heal? I believe God has already declared you to be healed in his son. Jesus has already dealt with your sickness and disease on the cross of Calvary. Guys, I believe that with every atom of my being. I couldn't say it if I didn't believe it. So from God's vantage point, he looks at you and says, by the stripes of my son Jesus, you are healed. You are healed, not going to be healed. Isaiah looked forward prophetically 500 years earlier and said, by whose stripes we are healed. Peter looked back in 1 Peter 2:24, said, by whose stripes you were healed. It was done at Calvary. So it was done at Calvary. In a very real sense, it's done when I reach out and appropriate and take, if you will, like the title deed we spoke about in an earlier video, when I receive by faith that healing. And at that moment, in one sense, in our faith, every healing is instantaneous. Every time I'm sick, I can come and appropriate and receive from the Lord that perfect healing. Now, when will that be produced in my body? There are many factors, including God, but I would say God's timing. I think, you know, God says your job is to believe you have received, and then you'll see it happen. In Matthew 8, the centurion comes to Jesus and he says, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy. Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. The centurion says, no. I don't need you to come to my home. I don't need to see, smell, feel, taste, touch you in my home. Just give me your word. Speak the word only. And I know it will be done. And Jesus said, go your way. Your servant is healed. The centurion went away. Now, how long was the journey from Jesus back home for the centurion? We don't know. Maybe it was half an hour. Maybe it was 3 days. Probably not more than a week or so, given the size of Israel. Could have been a little longer, but here's the point. The centurion received with meekness the engrafted word. He took the word of God. If you would have stopped the centurion on his way home and said, is your servant healed? I believe with all my heart, Mr. Centurion would have said, yes, he is healed. And you and I could have said to him, well, how do you know he's healed? What's your proof he's healed? Did you get a telegram? Did his relatives tell you? Have you seen him yet? Has the doctor given a report? The centurion would have said, no, Jesus gave me his word. I know it. The evidence for that healing is the word of God, Selah. And I believe you and I can do exactly the same thing. We can say we've got it now because of the word of God. Now, how long will it take for my body to catch up? That's really none of my business or none of your business. I think there are things we can do which will hasten and accelerate that process in our own hearts and lives. But the con of Satan is when somebody prays and they say, well, I'm waiting for the healing to come. I'm waiting for the manifestation. If you're waiting for something, you don't believe you have it now. Selah. Boom. Guys, I'm going to continue, I believe, from New York City next week on this topic. Really great topic and lots more to explore there. If you have a question, fire those to me. I'd love to try and answer that. Again, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel and signing up for our email newsletter, links wherever you're watching this. And thank you for watching. It's a blessing and a privilege to have you here. Bless you.